Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
All right, don't freak out, don't fret. We're just a little bit late. I know I'm crazy. I apologize. Let me put JC on the line. JC, what's up? It's Reese on the radio. JC, I'm sorry, dude. I apologize. You're just running a little late, buddy.
No worries, man. We're not going anywhere. We're here. We're ready to get going.
All right, don't worry. We're all right, folks. I know there's some people sitting around at 7 o'clock going, where the hell are we? Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. We're all the way back. It's Reese on the radio. The number is 347-308-8701. James Montgomery was on the show yesterday. He and I had a long discussion early today. He thinks I keep painting the Democrats in such an unfair light, which is what I do. I guess he's just getting used to that. I don't know what that's about. But, JC, don't worry about it. I said he's just worried that I keep painting Democrats in such an unfair light. And I said that's just what I do. It's just something he's gonna have to get used to. Until then, he'll get used to it. Until he comes in with some evidence that Republicans do the same thing. I just we have to do what it is that we do here. So he has to get used to that. But we got plenty to talk about as usual every day, all the time, right here on Reese on the Radio. Plenty of issues happening today. In fact, most importantly, to get to one in particular, and why I find it to be, I don't know, this would happen to be not a hot button issue. A lot of people aren't talking about it. It's been coming up in conversation as of recent with the Republican primaries happening. But it has to do with voter registration. Now, try this on for size. It's been said over and over again for years that if you commit a felony, that it is fair to take away your right to vote, especially if you commit a violent felony. You commit a violent felony, you forget about it. Your privilege is gone. If you commit a violent crime, and it is a felony, you go to jail, you serve your time, you come out of jail, you do your parole, all of that being said, but your right to vote is done over with. You don't have that right to vote ever again. Now, the argument has been made whether or not that is too harsh, that is too strict. The argument has been made that maybe if you go to jail, say you do 20 years, 20-year-old young man, you do 20 years, get out of jail, you do 10 years parole, or you do that 30 years, and, you're still alive, and you've completed your time, that you should get that time, you should get that opportunity to get your voters' rights back. That you should be able to then vote. You've done everything that's required of you by law. And you're now a regular citizen. Finish your parole. You don't owe us any more time. Here's your right to vote. Goes right back. some people have made the argument that this has been extended to people who have dealt drugs. Now, there's a reason why they want to extend this to drugs, because there are some people who believe that dealing drugs is a violent crime. You haven't shot anybody, you haven't stabbed anybody, but dealing drugs is a violent crime because of what it does to a society, the people you give the drugs to, what it is that they've been done once they've been on the drugs. That argument has always been made. So they consider this a violent crime. The question is whether or not you believe that drug dealers, although they've been charged with a violent crime or a violent felony, because they believe it's a violent felony. Okay, fine. Let's start from the beginning then. Do you believe that selling drugs is a violent crime, a violent felony? If you believe that that is a violent felony, do you still think that it's only the kind of felony where, you know, you do your time and you should get your rights to vote after you've committed your, you know, you've committed your time? Should you get right? I'm not going to give my opinion yet because I think it's deeper than the question that's being asked. But it's a strong argument within the black community. They believe that they have so many people that are being stricken from their right to vote that it is somewhat insensitive to make them not be able to vote for a certain amount of time or, you know, for the rest of their lives. They think that because, and I know why they think that, because they think that more black people sell drugs than white people, which is completely bogus, but because it affects black people in such a manner that they're the ones who should be allowed to vote. Afterwards, they should change the law. But what do you think? The number is 347-308-8701. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com and give us your opinion. Mary and I brought this up. And Mary, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You and I talked about this. Well, we texted each other about this briefly last night because you didn't agree with the O'Reilly factor when they talked about it briefly last night because, one, you don't believe that drug dealing is a violent felony. Is that your take?
You know, I think that it does go a little bit deeper, a little bit broader than just that simple question. I don't think things can be as simple as that. But most of the time, I mean, if you're not, no, it's, to me, it would not be a violent offense. I mean, you're selling drugs. It's not a violent offense. If the people that choose to buy the drugs from you are choosing to continue to buy drugs from you, whether it's hurting them or not, just because you're selling the drugs doesn't mean that you're hurting them. They're hurting themselves.
You're saying they're hurting themselves, but, you know, okay, because they're selling a product and whoever that individual is, they have the individual right to buy or not buy the drugs.
Exactly.
Okay. But dealing the drugs, making those drugs readily available, you do not think that that is a violent crime or a crime against society?
I do think in a way that it is a crime against society. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that drug dealing should not be considered a crime. But if you go to jail, say you're, you know, a first-time offender, you know, you're selling a little bit of marijuana on the side or something like that, to make ends meet or to make money, make extra money, whatever. If you don't get caught doing it again, if you are reformed from it, I don't think, and you get a job and you pay taxes, I don't think that anyone that is paying taxes should not have the right to vote. Regardless, I don't care whether you're a violent offender or not. If you have a job and you pay taxes, you should have the right to representation.
Okay, you're saying, okay, fine, all right. Exactly. But how do I put this? So while you're saying that if you change the wording of, okay, let's say that we no longer call selling drugs a violent crime, right, a violent felony, are you then saying that once they've done their time, that they should then be allowed to vote?
if you are work, if you have committed whatever crime it is, I don't care what crime you've committed, if you've gone to jail and you've paid your dues, you've paid for everything that you've done according to the judicial system, when you are released and you are a working citizen with the rest of America in this country paying taxes, you should have the right to vote.
Well, what if – go ahead, JC. Do you have a take on this?
Yeah. Let me throw this at you, Mary, because I was thinking about it while you were talking. We were talking a couple weeks ago about the 2 weeks ago we were talking about the invasion out west where the guy ended up getting killed by the mother who was protecting her kid. Now, let me throw a scenario at you. Now, if I'm, let's say, 22, and I'm agitating a fight outside between a bunch of kids, and I give a 13-year-old a gun, and he shoots, let's say, the kid that he's beefing with, should I not be likewise charged with that crime? Or say, for example, he made a mistake and killed himself. Should I not be charged with that crime?
Okay, but now you've brought in the aspect of you are an adult and this is a child that you're giving a weapon to, a deadly weapon to. I think that that's...
And I'm speaking along the lines of, say, for example, if I gave you the drugs.
I see your point, because is this the point you're trying to make? If you're a drug dealer and you're selling heroin and you're selling to underage kids at 13, 14, 15, or you're supplying them to sell to other people, is that not a violent offense? Is that what your point is?
Right, right. Not even selling to a kid, but just selling to anyone.
Okay, so...
Who then does something criminal.
My argument is not even so much that is it a violent offense? My argument is anyone that has committed a crime, then gone through the judicial system, done the time, face time, has gotten out of prison or out of juvie or wherever, and has paid their dues according to the courts of the United States of America or the courts of your state, you should be, and if you're working and paying taxes, you should be able to vote. That's my opinion.
So there shouldn't be any, I mean, in essence, what I think the law is trying to say is like, this is a deterrent because it's a privilege. This is a privilege, the opportunity to vote. So you don't think that there should be something that the law should say to protect itself from, you know, from its citizens that says, look, you know, in order to be a part of a process, you have to be a law-abiding citizen. You understand what I'm saying? Like, in order for you to be a part of the process of electing our next mayor or our next governor or our next senator, that you should be a part, you should be a part of a working society, of a fair and impartial society, and if you are a criminal for that matter, you get that opportunity because you are not a law-abiding citizen. That right should be taken away from you.
But is it really a privilege or is it a right of being a citizen of the United States of America?
No, voting is a privilege.
It's a privilege.
It is a privilege. It's not a right.
Why is it a privilege? It's a privilege because the courts have the right to take that away from you at any time or under certain circumstances.
Okay, what?
Gives you a voice to be heard.
Right, exactly. And that's why you have the privilege of voting. The privilege of voting, that's in essence why there's a difference between a right. You know, your inalienable right as a citizen, as it says in the Constitution, is, you know, pretty much, you know, the pursuit of happiness, to live free. These are all your inalienable rights. But it's not your inalienable right to vote. If it was, you'd vote, you know, when you come out of the womb. But you're not. You can only vote until, you know, when you're 18 years old. There are things that are inalienable, but then there are things that is a privilege to do. plenty of people have the privilege to vote, but they don't take that privilege. You know,
okay,
there's no
so,
one.
So, but it, okay. So it's a privilege. If you are a criminal, this is what bothers me. If you've taken the wrong path in life, and you end up getting put in prison for any kind of crime, regardless of whether it's violent, nonviolent, if you go through the judicial system and pay your dues for what you have done, why can that? Because I know you can't vote while you're in prison. So why would that not be reinstated once you have paid your dues? Why would anyone take that away from you for the rest of your life? Because once you come out of prison, maybe you are reformed, or maybe you will reform yourself, and you don't go back to a life of a criminal. You can never vote again. You're just, I mean, that's your, you're now, that privilege has been taken away from you for the rest of your life. That's a life sentence of taking your privilege away, of being able to vote, yet you have to work and pay taxes to the government, but you can't vote. You don't have the right to vote what government you see fit for you and your family to be in office.
You know,
I don't.
If people understand the magnitude of that, I think that there would be, you know, I think a lot of people don't care about voting, and they don't care about their representation, which is why they don't care too much about committing those crimes. I know a lot of people.
I think, I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in on you, but I think that you're right. And I think that the reason that is because a lot of people have the idea that, oh, I'm just one person, you know, or I'm just an average worker that doesn't make a whole lot of money. Who's going to listen to me? Or, you know,
right.
What is my one vote going to make a difference? And that is the problem with voting in this country today, because a lot of people don't take it seriously and don't understand the magnitude of it, and the magnitude that it, you know, the change that it could have if they change their ideas or their way of thinking about voting.
You're absolutely right. JC, go ahead.
Well, oddly enough, Mary, I kind of agree with you with that one. But me, in my opinion, because voting is so insignificant to so many people in this country, they don't understand the voting process. So a lot of them don't vote, period. And that's regardless of ethnicity. I think that if you commit violent crime, I think you should pay twice the taxes, at least. But that's my opinion.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
What?
I really think you should pay. I think you should pay twice the taxes.
Really?
Because, yes, exactly. Let me finish.
Okay.
And I say that because I don't think that taking away your right to vote is enough. If you've paid your dues and you pay your taxes, you're just basically paying for that police salary of the individuals that have to cover the crime that you committed to begin with. And I think you should pay double for others.
Well, okay, now, we all know that the system doesn't always work in the correct way.
And I think it would be one hell of a deterrent.
I can in no way agree with you when it comes to that, because we all know that the system doesn't always work. Sometimes people go to jail for things they didn't even do.
You're absolutely right. Well,
so
that's why we have a judicial system. I mean, and it's not, you know, what's sad is that it's not always fair.
I think it needs to be
worked out. I think it really needs to be looked at and worked out and overhauled. But I still think it would be a deterrent.
Well, JC, here's where I think in that scenario there might be an issue. Try, and I see where you're coming. You're saying that if the penalty is a lot higher, then of course this will be used as a deterrent to keep them from committing crimes. That being said, I think that as far as recidivism is concerned in our criminal system, and that is repeat offenders, when I say that, I think what will happen is that if you know that if you get a job, you're going to be taxed higher than everybody else, I think that you're going to have less of those people getting jobs, one, And two, you'll probably have those people recommit new crimes because they don't want to get a job because the penalty is even higher. So I'm not saying that you're not right. You're saying that, look, make them pay in another way, you know, find other ways to have them give back to their community, make them pay higher, tell them that there's a higher penalty for committing these certain crimes, you know. But I just think that that would probably warrant the reason why some people are repeat offenders. But let's get back to the original question. As far as drug dealing is concerned, do we believe, I believe my own theory, but my question to you guys is, do you believe that drug dealing should be considered a violent felony? It's already considered a felony, and in most cases a violent felony. Do you believe that drug dealing is a violent crime?
Absolutely.
And
I really do.
I can't say it's. I think that it's totally situational. I can't, you know, on an individual basis, I can't say that I agree that all drug dealers should be charged for, you know, that should be considered a violent crime. I can't sit here and say that.
So you don't believe that you don't think that it's a violent crime?
I think that it's situational whether it's a violent crime or not. I think it is situational. I think that if you are repeatedly, you know, as an adult, if you so choose to shoot heroin or smoke crack or sniff cocaine, or, I mean, I don't think marijuana dealers should be listed as, that's not a violent crime, okay? There's evidence that, scientific evidence that marijuana doesn't do anything more to you than smoking cigarettes.
Mary, I think you're looking at it as though it's a victimless crime.
Yeah, that's...
That is a what?
A victimless crime.
Well,
it can't be a crime unless there's a victim.
If you choose to get high, that's your choice.
What if you're pregnant?
That is still your choice.
No, you're harming someone else.
Now, I'm a female that can get pregnant, and if I'm pregnant, I know that I'm not going to be out anywhere smoking crack, shooting heroin or doing anything crazy like that. That's a choice, and if you are already addicted and become pregnant, which is 9 times out of 10 the situation, or probably 10 times out of 10 the situation, if you're already an addict and then you become pregnant, you should check yourself into a treatment center. There's free treatment centers. There's ways to get help. Ask somebody for some help. I mean, no, I don't. If you are an adult, that is your choice. You are making an informed decision as an adult to continue.
And you've already taken the right of that baby to vote by saying it's okay. Say, for example, am I making sense?
But why are you putting that on, and I'm not saying drug dealers should have rights, but why are you putting that on the drug dealer? Why is that not on the mother, or it should be on both of them?
It's illegal. So is it right?
And the fact that it's illegal, that's probably the core of the point. But how about this? Okay, so if I as a judge cannot charge the drug dealer with committing a violent felony on the person he's selling drugs to, does that now mean that if you you buy drugs and you use them and you're pregnant, can I now charge you with a violent crime?
You should.
Okay,
so
I can charge you with...
If you are pregnant and you are getting high, you should be charged with a violent crime because you are not just putting your own life at jeopardy, you are putting this unborn child's life at jeopardy that didn't ask to come into this world, and that is violence against your child that you are carrying inside of you. Yes, you should.
And you know what's sad, if I can cut in real quick, and what's sad is, say for example, you get a batch of bad heroin that kills you. And say you're in your last trimester and the baby happens to be born, but born with a crazy defect.
That's
the only time that they really begin to start tracing back that particular drug to the person that sold it.
Because, you know, that's a strong point about why they're calling it a violent felony, because the drug can have an adverse effect on the individual. Somebody can overdose on cocaine. You know, that may not be the case for marijuana, but someone can overdose on cocaine. Somebody can overdose on heroin. Someone can overdose on crack or smack or whatever it is, you know, for that matter. I'm sorry. I apologize, people. I'm not very versed on what the drugs are. I just know what the common names are. But if somebody can overdose on it, there's a possibility of someone overdosing on that drug. So what they're saying is that is in dealing that drug, it's a violent felony. So that's where the violent felony part comes in.
Okay, so I truly do understand both sides of, like, both sides of the coin. I understand both. So, again, I will restate the fact that I think that it is completely situational. Unfortunately, our judicial system probably doesn't have the money or the means or the resources to investigate each individual, you know, as a particular situation, each individual incident. So, you know, I can understand them having to just say, okay, this is what it is, and that's what it's going to be. It can't be situational because nobody has the resources for that. But that is still my opinion. It is, to me, it is still a situational issue. I can't say that in every situation it should be considered a violent crime, in my opinion.
So, in essence, you're saying for drug dealers, which is the argument here, for drug dealers, it should not be deemed a violent crime. If you've committed the crime, you do your time, and you've done your parole, your post-prison time, then you should be allotted your right to vote. And
yes, if you have now become an active, you know, person. Now, if you continuously do this, if you are a repeat offender and you continuously continue to do the same crime over and over and over again, then I can maybe see you taking somebody's rights away. But I still don't think that if you become a regular citizen in society and you work and you have a job and you pay taxes come out of that paycheck, you should be able to vote.
I think, again, it's a touchy subject just because it's what people deem as a violent felony or as a felony for that matter. And, you know, again, I think people are trying to use it as a deterrent. It doesn't always work, but, you know, there's just a way, there's certain ways that you can look at it, you know, on my view. We'll take a break.
Our judicial system is almost set up to make even first offenders fail from the get-go, because if you become a felon, you can't even get a job at McDonald's. So what are you going to do? You're going to continue to have to live a life of crime, for the most part, because you can't do anything else. You have no other means.
Well, we'll take a break when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll talk about something that I actually find a little, I don't know, weird. Should we allow the viewing of young kids using cuss words on TV shows? Trust me, when we get back, I'll explain it to you. It's Reese on the Radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
What's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. The number is 347-308-8701. And I just got, like, breaking news on Drudge Report. Just happened, and just now. It is completely freaking me out. The Newt Gingrich campaign may be a wrap, thanks to his ex-wife. You can always leave it to a woman to destroy your life. Just watch real, real closely. Newt Gingrich is going to have to wrap it up. We hear that he's off the campaign. He's running damage control. Was with this woman for 18 years, and apparently she did an interview with ABC News. Brian Ross, this investigative reporter. I was at the Democratic National Convention in 2008. I walked past Brian Ross. If you've ever seen him, they got Brian Ross Investigates on ABC News. He's a little man, a little man. Lilliputius is the word I'd like to use. For those of you who've not heard that term before, you know, Lilliput, you know, from Gulliver's Travel. Lilliputius is he, Brian Ross. He's got like a Napoleon complex. And you know ABC News, they want to destroy any Republican they can, and now there's this debate that's going on inside ABC News on whether or not it would be right to air it right before the South Carolina primary. So now I hear a decision has been made to show this interview on, I guess, after all the votes have been counted during the primary on Monday. So we'll find out whether or not Newt Gingrich and the story his wife is about to tell is going to be probably, I don't know, what am I going to say, the most damaging in years? We'll find out. But we'll talk about it a little bit, and I'll, of course, discuss what it is that I just read and what the breaking story. I think it just started at 6:47, the news broke. But to move on, I've got a question about television. I don't know whether or not you guys want to hear it, but I love that. That is the theme music to the TV show on ABC. It's airing tonight at 9 o'clock. It's called Modern Family. It's one of my favorite shows on television. And I like this show because it's funny. I don't care about a political hay it makes. You know, they've got an openly gay couple who adopted an Asian girl. You know, they've got a mixed family where Ed O'Neill, Al Bundy, from the Married with Children days, is married to the beautiful Sophia Vergara, and they've got, a little suspect little son who's a little quirky, some may say. And, of course, the regular family on the show, husband, wife, two daughters, a son. And if you watch the show, you'll enjoy it. It's a funny show. I don't care from any aspect of what political views they have. Well, tonight, there's supposed to be a very, very controversial episode when one of the youngest members of the cast, the Asian girl, who is the daughter of the gay couple, uses the F word or drops the F bomb on the air. Now, there was all this hay made about the fact that they would have this little child use the F bomb. But now as the story's come out, that they're actually going to have the little girl say the word fudge, but they're going to bleep it out and pixelate her mouth on the television to make it appear she said the F word. And there are a couple of groups who are outraged at the idea that she's going to be using the F bomb. But now that we know that she's no longer going to use it, and it's only going to appear that she did, why are we making hay? Why would there be an outrage about that? I almost feel like, they explain it. She doesn't use the word. She uses the word fudge. They're going to bleep it and pixelate words to give the impression as if she did say a curse word. What's the problem? Is it because there's an appearance of the word? Is that the big issue? Or maybe they're making too much do about nothing. My brother is actually here. He's nodded and said yes. Is that the problem? Am I out of my mind? Or maybe there's nothing to flip out about, or maybe this is just one of those groups that's just making something out of nothing. Mary, what do you think?
I don't understand what the big... If she's not going to say it, they've already explained that she's not going to say it. She's just using fudge. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Yeah, I just don't think... I almost think that this is ridiculous. The whole argument is ridiculous. But I think what their problem is that they're thinking that other children would think that it's being allotted, that it's being okayed by the network by saying, let me give my opinion. You understand what I'm saying? Like, my opinion is the kid's going to be using the word in some capacity, and when children see it on television, they'll think the little girl said a curse. So give me the illusion that she's cursing is a bad thing.
But what is their purpose of even pixelating it to where it looks like she did say a curse word?
Well, again, I think what they're doing is they're making a controversy when there's a non-controversy.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, I don't understand what the purpose of making it look like that is if it's not what it is and they don't want controversy, they're creating the controversy.
Right. Hold on. My brother's calling on the line. Let me hear his opinion because I know he wants to chime in. Charles, what is your opinion? Hello, are you there? Why I'm not getting him on the landline. Stacey, check and see if you could get Charles on the line for me. I think what the network is doing is creative, or at least Stephen Levitan and Christopher Lloyd, the creators of the show, I think what they're doing is creative. I was sort of, you know, freaked out because everyone kept saying, oh, my God, the little girl's going to use the F word on the show. And then when they find out that she wasn't going to be using the F word, then for me I was going, well, she's not going to use the F word.
Exactly. What is the big deal? It's almost like there isn't anything else to talk about because if she's not going to be using it, what is the big deal? But what is the network's purpose of pixelating it and making it look like, or the producer's purpose of doing that and making it look like she's saying the F word? What is the purpose behind that? I don't understand
because
that. That's what I want to know. What is the premise behind that?
I'll tell you exactly what it is. I think that Stephen Levitan and Christopher Lloyd, the producers of this show, I think what they tried to do was let's do what they do on Family Guy. You know, Family Guy uses a lot of very, very choice language. So let's cross the line a little bit. We're not really going to have a little girl use the F word, but let's give it an appearance that it was because we think that that's going to get a little bit of humor. You know, okay, we got Charles on the line. Charles?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you perfect.
Okay.
What do you think the big deal is?
I mean, first, with the whole Family Guy thing, that's different because you can't really go after a cartoon. It's a cartoon at the end of the day. Yeah, there's writers and stuff, but it's a cartoon that's acting it out, so to speak. But when you have a little girl on television cursing or making it appear to curse, it changes everything for kids because perception is everything. It doesn't matter if she actually says it, but her being perceived to say it, and if they don't, it depends on how they handle it as well. If they brush it aside, then that makes it even worse. I mean,
yeah, well,
a thousand times worse.
That's what it is the producers are saying. The producers are saying something incredible about this whole thing that I like, is they think that this is an important show because there are other parents who have had to deal with children who have used expletives growing up, and how does a parent deal with that? And these two parents,
we know how parents deal with that. We know how parents deal with that.
Yeah, usually it's something across the mouth, so to speak.
Exactly, but they're not going to do that on television. They couldn't.
They're going to put her in a timeout.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. This family's going to put her in a timeout.
And make her think about that fudge word she just said and why she didn't say it anymore.
Right, but do you think that this is disingenuous? Do you think this is some sort of fraud put on the network because the girl's not actually going to be saying the word? She's only going to be giving the appearance of the word.
That's my whole problem with it. If that's the case, let her say it.
Exactly. Right. If that is the case, let her say it. But then
she's an actress.
The producers would have, you know, mothers all over the country like, how could you do that? How could you let that little girl think that, really?
Yes, because they would be encouraging, corrupting this little girl into saying these foul things. But it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, yes.
In a sense, it is.
But at the same time, she's an actress. She's supposed to portray this. So, you know, it's kind of a funny thing there. But I would just say, let her say it.
It's a slippery slope because of one thing. And, Charles, I think you're right. Because of the perception that the viewer gets. But on the other side, I think that it was smart that they're only going to have the girl, they're not going to have the girl say an actual curse word. She's going to say the word fudge. And then after the fact, they're going to, you know, they're going to bleep it out, pixelate it to give the appearance. I think it's fraudulent that we were told about it. I think they should have just done it.
But they told it. They did that for the adults. Kids don't know. They're going to turn on the TV and they're going to hear this little girl say the F word on TV. That's what they're going to remember. Did you hear such and such? She said F this, whatever the case may be. That's
now,
what it's going to
really
come out as.
Okay, now, I've seen the show before. I've only seen it a few times, and it's very funny. But do you really think that this is something appropriate for young children to be watching in the first place anyway?
No. I think the show is I think it's a little more adult. I think that, in fact, I think the TV is like, I think, what's the rating on this? It's like TV 14, I think this show is. Yeah, I think this TV show is TV 14. I don't think little children should be watching it. But even I found out that they were going to have the girls say fudge today. But 2 weeks ago, they were talking about the little girl is going to drop the F-bomb. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to be the regular F-bomb. Because when I found out that it's the daughter of the two gay couple, I thought they were going to have her use the other F-word.
That's what I thought you were going to say, too.
Yes.
So I wasn't certain which one they were going to use, but then I read today what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. I don't think there should be a backlash. I think that it's a funny thing to do. Now, that's a real story. Little kids.
If the bit is tasteful, that's the thing. That plays a big part in it, too, because you're putting integrity and things like that on the line when you do this with people. And, you know, as a young actress, you know, you bring her integrity into question in people's eyes by even, you know, going forth and doing it. You understand? So,
but you know what? I think that the producers handled this right because, you know what, it's not like she's going to be really using the word and they're going to edit it out. They at least protected her as a young girl, not even introducing her to that and saying, okay, in this line you say fudge. And she's probably asking, what am I saying that for? She goes, no, don't worry, it's just with the dialect, you know, whatever. But they're at least keeping the integrity, and you know what I'm saying? They're keeping the innocence of this girl by not
letting her keep her integrity, right.
So that I can appreciate. I think there's a lot on that particular level that I can appreciate. Okay,
but the only thing with that is you never know how middle America is going to act.
Well, you know what? As it would go in anybody's life, if your kid used that word at a young age and you didn't find it acceptable, how you deal with it is going to be a little different than I think, as you guys mentioned, than it's going to be handled the way they handle it on the air. Somebody getting caught across the mouth.
A bleeding lip or salt and chip tooth.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, I got a great story to tease because, of course, Mary Mary, Why You Buggin' is out near Virginia. And this new law that pertains to rats was definitely going to have Mary buggin' out of Virginia as soon as possible.
Mary Mary, Why You Buggin'?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birth. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back. I'm still checking up on this Newt Gingrich story, according to Now Report. Again, as I claimed, the ex-wife of Newt Gingrich for 18 years. The headline on Drudge Report says it best, Newt ex-wife unloads. And let me just read you what the headline says here and why it's so damning. Marianne Gingrich has said she could end her ex-husband's career in a single interview. Earlier this week, she sat before ABC cameras. The Drudge Report has learned she spoke to ABC News reporter Brian Ross for 2 hours. Her explosive revelations are set to rock the campaign. But now a civil war has erupted inside the network, and an insider claims on exactly when the confession will air. ABC News suits determined it would be unethical to run the Marianne Gingrich interview so close to the South Carolina primary, a curious decision, one insider argued. Since the network has aggressively been reporting on other candidates, a decision was tentatively made to air the interview next Monday after all the votes had been counted. Gingrich canceled a press conference on Wednesday today to deal with the matter. He believes what he says in public, and now he lives. That doesn't make sense. He believes that what he says in public and now he lives don't have to be connected. Marianne Gingrich has said. That's what she's saying. The quote looks ridiculous. Okay, quote, he believes that what he says in public and he now lives don't have to be connected. That's what his wife said. When you try to change your history too much and try to recolor it because you don't like the way it was or you want it to be different to prove something new, you lose touch with who you really are. Apparently that's what she's been quoted as saying. So it looks like, to me, and I believe that this is going to be a huge smear campaign to get rid of Newt Gingrich because, most importantly, the one person who is going to be able to debate Barack Obama the best is going to be Newt Gingrich. And Mitt Romney, this will pretty much seal the deal. Because once Gingrich is out, it's a Romney-Santorum game, and Santorum is only, he's just gaining ground. And so this looks like it's going to be the end of the road. Go ahead, JC. You were going to say?
Well, they did it to Herman Cain. Oh, well.
Say again?
They did it to Herman Cain. Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. I feel bad because, I understand this is his ex-wife, but,
Did we not have this conversation a couple weeks ago, long before we even started the show? I told you they're going to get knocked off by Scandal one by one.
Yeah, exactly. And any opinion there is about, you know, she was with them for 18 years. Everything she says is credible. It, you know, even if she makes stuff up, it doesn't matter. She was with them for 18 years, they're going to believe it. You know, if it's...
Who's to say she's lying, though? Who's to say she's lying?
It won't matter. It won't matter. Nobody will care whether or not she's lying. Listen, the public already hates Newt Gingrich. And this is an opportunity to get rid of him. And I don't know who put her up to this or whether or not, you know, she was put up to this. I know she was put up to this. Come on. What would she be there for? She could have done this. Look, they were together for 18 years, you know. You know, he was, you know, he cheated on, I think this is the wife he cheated on.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If it turns out that Romney put her up to this, it's going to be a brilliant move, right? It would be a brilliant move, right? Who do you, Reese on the radio, suppose put her up to this?
I believe it was the Romney campaign.
You believe it was the Romney campaign?
I think that the Romney campaign, you know, as we like to call it in politics, we call it the October surprise. It's usually the month right before the election. This was kind of like the January surprise before the South Carolina primary. I think that what Newt Gingrich did, when Newt Gingrich said that he was going to run a clean campaign, he was going to run a nice campaign, an ethical one, he wasn't going to, you know, the claws were not going to come out. Nobody was going to be attacked. He was going to rival, you know, his peers in this on an ethical way. And then he got angry when Romney ran these super PAC ads about, well, Romney didn't run them, but Romney's super PAC ran these commercials about him. And when he lost in New Hampshire, he was furious at the level that he lost. He finally said, no more Mr. Nice Guy. And, you know, they really, really wanted him to get into this really, really hateful campaign. And the reason why they were doing it, because they drew him out. They drew him out of his comfort zone. He got more vicious. And I think that Romney stood back there and said, fine, that's it. We got him. The claws are out. Drop the boom. Nakasami, Hiroshima, drop the A-bomb, and here it is. And campaign over. And again, like I said, every time, I don't care who you are, it's always a woman that destroys your campaign. No matter what, it's going to be a woman. That's why I won't run for public office. I got a lot of bad, you know, I did a lot of horrible things to ex-girlfriends. You know what I mean? I made a lot of bad decisions. You know what I mean?
I'm going to applaud you real quick.
What's that?
Because, you know, I want to do this nice and loud. Because I thought for sure you were going to save the Obamas.
No, I'm not putting it on him. Why would I do that? There's no reason to put it on Obama. That's ridiculous.
Because you're Reese.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, it's the top of the hour. We'll be back.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
All right, it's the top of the hour. I'm Reese on the radio just after 8 o'clock in the morning. The number is 347-308-8701. Welcome back. Heartbreaking news of Newt Gingrich. Everybody I like, you know, it's almost like it's clockwork. As soon as I pick a guy that I support, another shoe drops. It's killing me. Every time, it's killing me. I don't know how. I don't know why, but it keeps happening. And sorry to see you go, Newt. And I don't know whether or not. Maybe he stays. Maybe he sticks around. Maybe he proves me wrong. Sticks around and fights it out. Possibly he can, you know. But, look, I just need somebody to be able to debate Barack Obama as best as possible. You know? That's what it is that I want. I want somebody to go in there. You know, I want them to sink their teeth into this whole campaign and get this debate out there. I don't want Mitt Romney, who had Romney care, and try to debate Obamacare. Turns out you did the same damn thing, and you want to debate Obamacare. How are you going to debate when you did the same thing in your state? You need somebody out there who can challenge this guy, who's patently different. We're not going to get that. And I'm just appalled. My whole heart is breaking right now. You have no idea. I'm physically, emotionally tied. You know, I'm hurt. Anyway. So, Mary, why are you bugging? Listen, Mary, get on the phone. Where are you, my dear? I need her on the phone. Where is she? I got to find her. Wait a minute. Hold on. There she is. Nope, I don't have her. Where is she at? Mary, there you are. Are you there?
I've been here. You just could not hear me for whatever reason. I was just asking JC what the problem was.
Oh, and I forgot to push the microphone on, so I apologize. Mary, have I got a story for you.
Mary,
why you bugging?
Well, Mary will be bugging out of... Yeah,
Reese,
go on.
Before you start the story, can I just give my opinion on what Newt Gingrich's wife is about to do to his career?
No, we'll get into it later. Why do you just want to
bash me? Oh, my God. All right, fine. Go ahead.
Now, let's talk about you. Mary, why are you bugging out of Virginia? I know why you're bugging out of Virginia. Apparently, the people in D.C. have passed a law. And I don't know why they passed this law, but folks, let me say this. The people for the ethical treatment of animals are getting out of control. And they've gone one step too far. And here's how they've done it. Apparently, new legislation in D.C. is telling the people in the pest control arena that they can no longer kill the rats or rodents in D.C., that they must gather the rats, preferably in families, and humanely remove the rats out of the city at a distance of at least 25 miles away, because anything closer than 25 miles, the rats can find their way back home. So they are telling people to discard of rats and rodents in a humane way. Now, you in your house, you get a rat in your house, you can do whatever you want. You can shoot them with a pellet gun, a real gun, a shotgun, a bow and arrow, a flamethrower, a nuclear weapon, as long as it's in your house. But pest control, if they see an area where there are rats in the subway, in the park, whatever it is, you have to gather the rats, especially the families, and you have to discard them and move them at least 25 miles away so they can't find their way back. You cannot kill them if you are in the pest control field. You have to discard of them in a humane way. In other words, pack them up, pack their bags, and ship them out of town. And there are people in Virginia who are very concerned about this because they believe that they will be sending these rats over the Potomac right into the good old state, Virginia. That's right. Virginia is no longer just for lovers, folks. It's also for the rats and roaches, too. Mary, why are you bugging out of Virginia? I say
I'm going to be bugging because I'm about to be infested with rats and rodents. This is crazy. What is wrong with these people? So Maryland and Virginia have to deal with D.C.'s rats because these crazy people are telling pest control that they can't kill them. What is going on? The pest control business in Maryland and in Virginia is about to go through the roof. They are about to have astronomical numbers at the end of their year.
The scary part about it is that there is no place in mainstream media that is talking about this. The D.C. Attorney General has passed this legislation, or at least is trying to pass this legislation. But the bottom line is that people in the outer areas of D.C. are concerned about where these rats are going to go. You mean to tell me that we can kill these rats? They can't. Now, listen, we're talking pest control. If you work in a pest control field, the law says that you cannot use rat traps, glue traps, poison. That means that, you know what they used to do in the parks? They used to blind poison out by the trees and, you know, all that other stuff. They're not allowed to do that anymore. If there's an infestation of these rats, now they're not talking about the field mouse. They're not talking about you and the mice that you and your weird little kids keep in the house as pets. They're not talking about those people. They're talking about the real rat, the rabies carrying, you know, infested, nasty, oh my God, my spine is tingling rat that you find in common places like the subway trains or gutters and stuff like that. They're saying that if the pest control catches them, they cannot kill them because groups like PETA find this inhumane. All right?
Where is the CDC in this situation? Where are they
at? The CDC, they're not on. They don't care about this as long as they're being removed. So they're saying that when you remove them, and how do you find a rat?
So you're taking an infestation out of one area and putting it into two other areas because Maryland and Virginia border D.C. in every aspect. So
yes, exactly. Exactly.
You're not solving the problem. You're just creating a problem for someone else. If you don't have to deal with it, so be it. Oh, well. So
Don't you find this odd that, you know, the rats get a better immigration plan than most immigrants in this country? You know, we can't send the Mexicans back to their country, but we can remove the rats from D.C. and move them out 25 miles away.
And move them into suburbia of Maryland,
yes,
and Virginia because 25 miles away is right about where I live.
They are very serious about this, and I don't know whether or not there are going to be penalties or fines if you don't adhere to this law, but I think that this is the people's ethical treatment of animals run amok. A rat is considered an animal now. A rat is considered I've never ever heard anything like this before.
And where are the people in Maryland and in Virginia that are supposed that should be opposing this? Where are those people at? And
yes,
you're right, it hasn't been in any mainstream media because I live here. And I haven't heard a single thing about it. And no one that I know or work with or any come in contact with has ever said anything to me about it.
I read this article on CNS News. That's where it was. It was on CNS News. It was just the only site. In fact, I heard the story 2 days before it was actually released online. And there was no place where I could find it. I went looking for the story and couldn't find it. Not one place had it until CNS News posted it a day ago, and I found it I found it yesterday. And I had already heard the story on another show, and I said, no, I got to find the story. Couldn't find it anywhere, and it just got reported. So it looks like that's what's going to be the case, that they will be –
Those rats are going to find their way back to D.C. anyway.
But you know what? Look at I think that what you're doing is creating a health scare in other communities. I mean, do we really, have we gotten to the point where rats are to be treated in a humane way? I mean, are we really at that point?
When you talk about PETA, we have crazy. Do you know how many crazy animal people there are? These people are nuts. They have no other lives. Their whole lives are dedicated to animals. I'm not a pet hater. I'm not an animal. I don't like animals or anything like that in my home because I have allergies and I think that the hair and the dander, it's just nasty. I don't. If If I was going to have a dog, I'd have to have a backyard with a little dog house. You can sleep out there. But you can't sleep in my house. I mean, you're not sleeping in my bed. You're not.
Right.
These people are nuts. They are absolutely nuts. They have nothing better to do with their lives but to cause havoc, wreak havoc on everybody else's life.
And
now
they're always
asking. DC's trash and dump it off in Virginia and in Maryland.
If
the citizens of Virginia and Maryland allow that to happen, then shame on us.
Again, it's not being reported on, so there's nothing to fight. You know, so they don't know that it's happening. They'll just see an increase in rats in their neighborhoods or in their towns. But here's it. You know, you said you're not an animal fan. Well, if these people are animal fans and these people at PETA really, really care about rats, why don't we just give them to PETA?
Why don't they take them home? Why don't they take them and disperse them into their communities?
Which is another case of people like PETA and other groups telling other people how to live, even though they would never, ever do this themselves. In their own homes, if they saw a rat, they'd kill it. You know, they wouldn't walk up to the rat and go, "Oh, hello, little rat. Oh, you're just looking for a place to stay. Well, roam free, little rat. Come on." They're not going to do it, but forcing other people to do it, they're absolutely fine with that. So D.C. and their rat problem, and you know why D.C. has a rat problem, because, you know, those Occupy Wall Street filthies.
Oh, stop it. It is not.
Read the article. Those Occupy vermin. Those people out there, they have a huge – in fact, there was a report that said they had to move people out of a park because there was a giant infestation of rats. It was bad enough that they were feeding squirrels, you know, and other little, you know, chipmunks or whatever, but they said that a large rat infestation came because of the Occupy movement. And the Occupy
movement, I can see that point because those people are basically living in those tents. I mean, that's where they live, eat, all that.
Living in their own filth. That's what they're living in. Those Occupy people are nothing more than hippie rejects. That's who they are. They're a bunch of rejects who want to be a part of a generation that they weren't even alive for. And that was the pathetic, psychedelic, hippie, loser 60s. That's right, I said it. My mom's from that era, and they were losers, bums. They were nothing more than socialists and communists. Free love my rectum. They were pathetic. And I think these people trying to get a resurgence of that stupidity, they need to go to That's where they need to go. I spit on you and all like you and all your ilk. You want to live off the land? Do me a favor. Do it in Russia. Go live off their land. See how well you
do. Hey, Russia seems to think that the United States is the root of all problems.
Of course they do. It must have been the root of all their problems. That's the reason why they went bankrupt at the end of the Cold War. I hate these people, Occupy people. Occupy this. And if you knew what I was touching, you'd get the gist of it.
Oh, my God. You're incredible. Incredible.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, it's Reese on the Radio. We've got plenty to talk about. We'll talk about Obama's uncle because, you know, I can't live without talking about Obama. Got to talk about him. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know
hottest guy got a machine gun on the plane. He stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out. Because he was Chinese, I was like, why is he talking like that? He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over, there was one other black dude. He was from Nigeria. I looked over at him, he was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me, he just looked at me, he was like. He didn't need to talk, I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him, I was like. Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us, they were like, oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us. We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got five black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The police, I'm not joking.
I told you, he said it. You can't go to a 7-Eleven. You can't go to one 7-Eleven without finding him there. That's Joe Biden. It's Reese on the radio, number 347-308-8701. And I don't know whether or not anyone's ever heard this story or even paid attention to it. A lot of people haven't been. I didn't pay much attention to this story myself. I'm just reading a little bit of it now. I know that it happened, but it just didn't interest me just because it just seemed out of whack. But, you know, okay. Anyway, so Obama's uncle is in the news. And if I can pronounce his name, if you forgive me, because I'm going to butcher it, like Sam on Brady Bunch, Onyango, and somebody help me out here, JC, is it Onyango? Onyango Obama. He's the brother of Zituni Onyango, the president's aunt, and they live in Boston. Apparently, Zituni came to the United States from Kenya in 2000 and was denied asylum by the immigration judge in 2004, but she stayed in the country illegally and was granted asylum in 2010 by a judge who found that she could be a target in Kenya. So, but anyway, Onyango, who was in the news, was arrested last August for drunk driving.
Well, that wasn't exactly what it was that he committed. But to give you a breakdown, he was drunk. He was at .14. He was drunk. He rolled through a stop sign, and he got stopped by a police officer. Now, folks, what happens next is astonishing. Because I can't disagree with what Obama's uncle did after he failed the breathalyzer and the whole nine yards. I can't, because normally I would crap all over this, but I didn't. I can't, because I know what I would do if I were in his position. According to the report, he was charged with drunken driving, right? Police stated that he was booked at a police station. Obama was asked whether he wanted to make a phone call to arrange for bail. Onyango's response was, "I think I will call the White House," he stated. Now, first, before we get into what happened later on, okay? You're the uncle or you're the aunt of the President of the United States. I would assume you're somewhat close. But somebody says, "Hey, kid, you're allowed one phone call. Want to call somebody to arrange for bail?" "Yes, I'm going to call the White House." Now, if I know the police officer is going, yeah, buddy, no problem. You want coins for change? In fact, here, use my cell phone. They probably laughed their ass off when he said it. "I will call the White House. I will speak to my nephew. He will arrange all of this. He will clear this up with no problem, police officer." "Perhaps you would like a White House napkin, maybe a tour." "Yeah, right." What's your last name again?" "I am Onyango. Onyango Obama." "Get out of here." "Hey, Cap." "Kunta over here says that he's the president's uncle." "Oh, yeah. And I'm the Queen of Sheba." They were probably having a blast after he said that. Turns out he was. So I would have done it just because it was hilarious. "Yes, put me on the phone with the White House." You can't tell me. Come on, Mary. If you was the president's aunt, you wouldn't have told the cops, "I'm calling the White House."
Most definitely.
I wouldn't have just said,
"Let me call the White House." I would have said, "Excuse me, but do you know who I am? And when my nephew gets a hold of you, you're going to be in big doo-doo."
So, but I know that the police station, they had a huge laugh about that. And then finding out that it was really his uncle, that was just insane. I mean, that is crazy. But hold on, the story gets better, Mary, just to show you how crazy they are willing to go. The defense attorney in the case is a guy by the name of P. Scott Bratton. And he is now asking, try this, officers. In a written report, they are asking for the officer Val Crystal's driving records. Because it turns out that Officer Val Crystal had a car crash when he was responding to gunshots. He was on duty, and he crashed into a stone wall. And they're saying that when he crashed into it, in other words, they want the police officer's driving record to use as a defense.
Hasn't this police officer been charged with DUI on several occasions? I heard something about that, that he doesn't have the cleanest record himself.
Well, it said defense attorney P. Scott Britton is citing a car crash that Crystal had in November, and he said he plans to ask prosecutors in court Thursday to turn over the portions of Crystal's personnel file that mention an internal affairs investigation into Crystal's on-duty driving record. I apologize. Crystal was injured on November 22nd when he lost control of his police cruiser and crashed into a stone wall while responding to a report of gunshots. And Framingham police declined to comment Wednesday. A spokesman for the Middlesex District Attorney Jerry Leone said prosecutors are not opposed to to turning over records related to any crafts these crystals was involved in while on duty. She declined to comment before Thursday's hearing on any police internal affairs report related to Crystal's driving record. They're saying that there's an internal investigation. What they're trying to prove, I'm sure you can allege, is to say that, you know, who is this guy or whether or not, you know, he has the right to judge somebody else's driving ability when he of himself has a questionable record behind the wheel. But,
okay,
you know,
but the point is Obama was drunk. When he blew,
right.
He was drunk. He was over the limit. I don't care whether this police officer has been in 1,500 car crashes. He was on duty. He stopped him. As long as he stopped him legally and did everything he was supposed to do within the legal ramifications, what is the point? Why do they need that? Because that's Obama's because that's Obama's uncle?
Yeah, well, apparently, like I said, I know how everybody reacted when he said that. Nobody believed it was true. But now that they know that he's there, and look at the tactics they're pulling out. I mean, come on, man. It's a drunk driving charge. Put the H on your chest and handle it. Come on, man. You are really, really going to go through it. Everybody in the world has been through a DWI or a DUI. You got to put an H on your chest and handle it.
Let me use your famous phrase, man up.
Yeah, man up. Man up. You were drinking. You know, I mean, I would have assumed you were drinking just by mentioning the White House when you got pulled over. I would call you White House. I would have thought you were way over the limit. That's probably what got you locked up. That's probably the first thing they said. Oh, he's drunk. No, really, really, I'm telling the truth. No, let me call the White House. No, wait, why are you putting these things on me? I don't like this.
You sound like Arsenio Hall in Coming to America.
Yes, I look, I'm not really, really good at accents nowadays. I used to be so good at them, but I'm awful. But yeah,
I
get the guy.
That one in particular, but
I can't believe this dude
needs to get off his high horse. He was charged with DUI. That's what happened. He was drunk, regardless of whatever, whoever he's related to. He was drunk. Do your ASAP classes. Pay your few thousand dollars that you got to pay. Ask your uncle for some, ask your nephew for some help with some money if you need to, or whatever. But it's your charge to take. You got behind the wheel of your car or whoever's car while you were under the influence of alcohol. Now that should be considered a violent crime.
I agree. It should
that
be considered.
That should be in the violent crime list.
I couldn't agree more. Hey, did we take a commercial break already?
You're controlling the panel. Did we?
I don't remember whether or not we took a commercial
break.
We
just came back from break.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. I'm almost certain that we just came back from a commercial break. Okay, I was
wondering.
This whole Obama thing has got you all crazy.
Anytime I talk about Barack Obama, no, you know what it was that got me thrown off? You know what threw me off today? This Newt Gingrich story. That's just throwing me off.
I'm glad you brought it back up.
Go ahead. You wanted to say about Newt Gingrich. What's your view on this?
That scandalous ex-wife of his. What a low blow to get. Look, if people want to vote for him and he's running to be a presidential candidate, let the people decide that. Just because your marriage was flawed or he cheated on you or whatever the situation was in your personal life, don't come on national TV and not only make yourself look bad, but ruin this man's career. I mean, whatever happened, happened. Too bad, homegirl. Woman up. Things happen in life. I'm so sorry that your personal life did not turn out as well as the possibility of Newt Gingrich's business life. Too bad. Why do these women hold so much anger and so much hatred and all this bad feelings against men like this and then come out and just, they're like, oh, I'm going to get you. I'll get you. I'm going to ruin your life. What are you gaining from that? What is his ex-wife's name?
Marianne.
Marianne, what are you gaining from that? What would Ginger say? I mean, I don't get it.
What would Ginger say? Very funny. No, but I, you know, I commend you for speaking loudly against women who do this. Because it's become a commonplace where women have been used or have used themselves to destroy the careers of men. And I think that this has gone on too often. And I appreciate you as a woman stepping up and saying that this is running rampant. JT, do you think that this is a good thing?
Apart from the fact that you're not a Gingrich fan.
No, not at all.
Okay, so you're not a Gingrich fan. Well, let's think about this from a practical level. Forget about who it is, but, you know, shouldn't she just keep her mouth shut?
Well, if she was smart, she would have waited until he was at least in office, if that's where he was going to end up. I mean, that's when the book deal will be a lot more juicier.
So you're saying that once he became president, then bring it to bear and have people dealing with it then?
Right.
Well, no, but what he's saying is that she could have benefited from it. Like stupid, if you're doing this for some beneficial purpose, like financial beneficial purpose, you could have benefited more once he was in office. You know what I'm saying? If that's what the reasoning is behind her coming out with this scandal. And I don't even think and if that is it, then shame on you, honey. Get a job, make your own money.
On the same token, she should have held her marriage together. She should have held her marriage together. Then she could be the first lady.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of what it is. I think her biggest problem is that she's not going to be in the White House, and any woman who's going to be there, I'm going to destroy your chances too. You know, if you can't have them, nobody will.
But that goes back to my whole point. It is so selfish and it's so sad because, and I'm a woman, but I'm a mature woman that would, I see women do it with their kids. They hold, you know, they dangle their kids over their baby daddy's heads like they're, you know, like they're voodoo dolls. You know, it's ridiculous. Why do women hold so much hatred inside that you have to do something so detrimental to another human being? I understand that you're scorned and he probably did you wrong and all that good stuff.
But get over it. I mean, life moves on. Get over it.
Your product so safe.
Move on. He's obviously moved on. So
move on.
In my eyes, she's not doing anything but making herself look like she has low self-esteem, that she has no respect for herself. Because any woman that had any respect for themselves would not come out and start pulling this crap at a time like this. At any time, but especially not at a time like this. I mean, you're so vengeful. It's ridiculous.
Like money is the root of all evil.
And they wonder why men hate us.
Yeah, well,
I don't necessarily
hate
you.
Men don't hate you.
We
don't hate you. I don't think that men hate women.
I don't mean that in a literal sense.
No, I know what you mean. I think that the problem in this particular case with Marianne Gingrich, here's the issue. Here's the bottom line. Is that here's a woman who saw, and women have this thing. There's this little DNA thing inside them. Here she saw her husband on television expounding all of this, you know, this rhetoric, you know, and we should do this, and we should do that, and we should do this. And she's sitting in the background. She's going, oh, yeah, you wasn't thinking that when you was doing this. Oh, yeah, but you never really said that. Oh, look at this. And then she's feeling all of those feelings. She's getting all of that angst back. Yeah, remember him? He cheated on you. Yeah, look at that woman he cheated on me with, whole blonde. She's a real blonde anyway. Look at her. She's skinny. She thinks she's a size 2, but everybody knows she's a size 4. And she's sitting up there scheming and angry and whatnot, and she's bitter. And she says, you know what? I never really got even with him. I may have gotten the house. I may have gotten the dogs and the kids. I may have gotten a car. I may have gotten part of the investments. I probably got half his bank account. I probably got everything. But I never got even. And
but
I just
why
need...
do you need to? But why do you need to get even? I don't.
You know what?
It's like if you're in a relationship that doesn't pan out the way you wanted it to, and you don't get treated the way that you thought you deserved to be treated, and now you're no longer in this relationship, and this man, woman moves on to something that, you know, why hold the bitterness? It's like, okay, you know what? You may be a size, you may say you're a size 2, but you're a size 4, and you may be beautiful, and you may have this, and you may have that, but you know what? You still got that sorry-ass sucker that I got rid of, so good riddance. Have them, keep them, see you later.
But that means that deep inside her heart, she hasn't moved on. That means that deep inside of her heart, she's still angry. She's still bitter. She's still sad. She still cries at night. She still sleeps. She still cries into her cereal bowl. You know, she's still feeling inadequate. It's that she needs something to make her feel better. Look what I've accomplished. Look at the attention they put on me. And it's all because I can bring you down. It's all because I yield power against you. I finally have my vengeance. I am going to destroy you. And that's all it's about. Because inside, she thinks that she was destroyed. She thinks that what he did to her destroyed her. It immediately, it completely diminished her. And for her, her ultimate revenge is to destroy him on the highest level. That's how she gets her redemption.
I've been through a lot in my own personal life. I've been knocked down, and I stand right back up, brush my shoulders off, and keep on moving. So I don't care what has happened to her, what happened in their personal life. As a woman, get off your high horse or get off your self-pity ride and keep it moving, sister. You don't need that. That is not a way to get back at somebody. That is a way, because in the end, she's going to be like, damn, why did I do that? Because people are going to bash her, just like I am sitting here saying stuff about her. As a woman, I mean, so what? You're scorned. You haven't gotten over it. Well, get over it. Stop crying in the milk bowl. Put the milk bowl away. Put some makeup on your face. Put some pumps on and keep it moving.
Yeah, and find yourself a new man, you know? Find the love of your life. There's actually a new report that's just come out from the Associated Press. Excuse me, folks. An ABC News executive tells the Associated Press that ABC has interviewed Newt Gingrich's second wife and is likely to air the segment Friday night on Nightline. That's the day before the South Carolina primary, where the Republican presidential candidate is trying to topple GOP frontrunner Mitt Romney. The ABC News executive did not indicate that the ex-wife, Marianne, said in the interview and spoke on the condition of anonymity because the plans for airing the interview were tentative. The ex-wife has said Gingrich proposed to her before the divorce of his first wife was final in 1981. Her marriage to Gingrich ended in divorce in 2000. Gingrich admitted he'd already taken up with Calista Bissek, his third wife. So, Gingrich said he has no relationship with his second wife. So, according to the report, they're going to air it the day before the primary in South Carolina. As many people may remember, 4 years ago, when the scandal broke about John Edwards and Raelle Hunter and their affair and the love child, well, the love child he didn't admit to, but the affair. He went on to Nightline a night before the story broke, even though the National Enquirer broke the story weeks before, but he went on Nightline. Now, on Nightline and airing so late at night, whether or not people are going to, one, listen to the report and whether or not it's going to have or do some damage to Newt Gingrich remains to be seen. People may be, you know, maybe setting their mind about who they're going to vote for. But, look, I would say let's just watch the report. And let's see what happens. I mean, I know there's nothing left to do, folks, right, other than for us to watch it and see whether or not she said something scandalous. Because, you know, I'll be honest.
And did you say that her marriage ended with him 12 years ago?
Yes, it ended 12 years ago, and she apparently is still not over.
Well, honey, Marianne, if you're listening and you are still crying in your soup bowl about this, honey, you need to go see somebody because this is a problem. I could see if this was maybe a couple of years ago, but it's been 12 years. Have you been sitting at home in a onesies pajamas crying in your soup bowl every day for 12 years? Have you really?
You know, well, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Now, listen. Their relationship started in 1981, and they got divorced in 2000. So that being said, that would have been 30 years, right?
81 to 2000 would have been 29 years. It would have been 19 years.
Okay, so 19
because
years.
80 to 2000 would have been 20.
You're right. Okay, so 19 years. Now, an old ex-girlfriend of mine said that it takes half the time of your relationship before you get over that person once you break up. So, in essence, if you date somebody for 3 years, it takes you a year and a half to get over that person. So you get the math. So if they were together for 18 years, she should have been over in 9. In 2000, by 2009, should have been over. It should have been a wrap. She should have been done. I mean, 2000? It's 12 years later. How are you still not over this?
That's exactly my point. How are you not over this? And if you're not over it, you need to see somebody.
I think she does. I think, you know, I would be interested to know whether or not she's seeking therapy.
And if she's not, she needs to. There's plenty of therapists out there that need to reach out to her.
I don't know. It's sad. I don't even know what to say about it. You know, we'll get the report. As they come in, I'll be reporting them. I'm staying online now, and I'm checking everything that's coming over. That AP wire literally just came over a Drudge report, so I grabbed it as soon as I could. It's horrible. I don't know. I feel sorry for him because it shouldn't have to happen. But you know what? Politics is hell. You know, and it's always going to be hell. And you know, when you get yourself out there into this game, you know, they come after you. You know, it's not the easiest place to be. I don't feel for him. Although I love being in politics, I would love to be in politics, but you know. I got to think about it.
Did you say you don't feel for him? You don't feel bad for Gingrich?
No. I feel for him, but I can't really feel bad for him because it's the game you get into. We'll be back at Teresa on the Radio. Stick around.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Teresa on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701. Right here on Reese on the Radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time. But I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Hey, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand. I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is. But Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lewis.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back. 347-308-8701. Always remember to check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com and send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. You guys are actually going to freak out about this. If you've ever lived in a violent neighborhood, or if you ever lived in a town where there was violence, your opinion on this particular subject matter, I don't know. You may lean for, you may lean against. I'm going to lean against. According to New York Police Department Commissioner Ray Kelly, New York and his department is looking to deploy the Terahertz Imaging Detection Scanner to combat the war on illegal guns in New York City. Kelly said the scanners would be used in reasonably suspicious circumstances and intended to cut down on the number of stop and frisks on the street. The so-called stop and frisk are considered to be a violation of the Fourth Amendment. New York City is a largely Second Amendment-free zone, the city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, has said. Acting outside of any government military effort should not be allowed to protect citizens. Acting outside of any governmental military effort should not be allowed to protect themselves with firearms. The NYPD and the Department of Defense are working together, testing the Terahertz imaging detection system. Here's what the system does. That if they flash this on you, it can test the radiation coming off your body. So, you know, the body has warm spots and cold spots. And this detection system will show anything blocking that particular heat on your body. In essence, it will show the shape of a gun, if indeed you have one. Studies reveal that the THZ waves unzip double-stranded DNA, creating bubbles in a double strand that could significantly interfere with the process, such as gene expression and DNA replication. So, you may come out sterile after they point this thing at you. So what they're planning on doing is using this device to deter people with illegal weapons. Insane in the membrane? Or have we come to the point where we just have to do something? JC, your take? Okay, Mary, your take.
Okay. So if this particular device is harmful to people to the point where it can actually mess with your DNA, no. They should not be doing that. I mean, that's crazy. It's ridiculous. And is it a violation of your civil rights?
Of course it is. The ACLU is already pointing that out. Of course the ACLU is on the case. That was the first thing that they said. Of course it was a violation of American civil liberties. The first thing that they brought up. And you know that they will because that's, you know, come on. Do we really, really? I mean, this is the problem. Do you know this is a fact? Mary and JC, this is an absolute fact. Do you know that cities or states with the strictest gun laws, have the most illegal gun violence? In other words, the harder it is for you to get a legal handgun in that state, the more likely you have gun violence in that city. Take a perfect example. Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the union. Chicago last year had 256 murders in one town. I mean, in Illinois, in Chicago, 256 murders. There's shootings all the time. And the reason why is because regular citizens cannot arm themselves. And because it's a strong liberal state, a very strong liberal state, they have the strictest gun laws. Now, they don't have this problem in other places. I mean, for crying out loud, we just did a story 2 weeks ago about the 18-year-old mother who blasted that son of a gun who broke into her house because she had the right to be armed. She has the right to be armed.
And I'm in a state, Virginia doesn't have very strict gun laws. I don't know what the numbers are as far as, you know, gun violence in this state. I don't have that right here in front of me. But we don't have ridiculously stringent gun laws here. But, I mean, crime is going to be everywhere. People are going to have guns regardless whether it's within the legal limits or not. You can't – I mean, what else are we going to patrol? You know, what – I just don't get it. What else are we going to – what else is the government or our state government or our federal government going to control and patrol? Are they going to patrol and control every little aspect of our lives? It is
yes.
It's stupid.
Yes, Mayor Bloomberg has already said it. That's the whole plan. The whole plan is to do nothing but to control every aspect of your life. We are going to control everything. We're going to make sure you don't have a gun. We're going to make sure you don't eat fatty foods. We're going to make sure that you get an education. We're going to make sure that you don't buy sugary sodas. We're going to make sure you don't get any salt in your diet. We're going to make sure that you see a doctor every day. We're going to make sure that you live your life. Listen, don't worry about it. You don't have to think about it. We got you covered. No. Don't think. I got you. Don't do nothing. Go ahead. Eat some cereal. It's good for you. It's got no sugar. That's what the whole thing is about. Don't do nothing. Don't worry about it. We got you covered. When you walk down the street, we'll stop you. We'll make sure you're not doing anything illegal. We'll patrol your neighborhood. What are you doing in this neighborhood? You belong here? All right, get on the wall. Let me strip circuit. Let me make sure you ain't got nothing on you because we don't want you to hurt yourself. We don't want you to cause any damage to yourself or others. So we get to stop you. We get to strip search you. We just have to make sure that the whole place is fine, okay? We're watching everything. We got our eyes on you. And that's the bottom line. And that's exactly where
you're
going.
And now, in New York, I heard a story. Someone was telling me about this. I don't know all the ins and outs about it. But it's like these people are being stopped because they look suspect or because they have baggy clothes on or they dress in an urban way, being stopped and being searched. And they find small amounts of marijuana on these people. They lock them up. They get a record, they can't find jobs because now they've been convicted of drug possession. If you're convicted of drug possession, you cannot get any federal loans to go to college. You have to pay for that out of pocket. You can get private loans. Are they saying that this is going to stop the – and it's almost like it's being overrun. It's too much. They're stopping – too many people just because of the way that you look or because of the clothes that you have on. So are they saying that this is going to stop that this is going to eliminate some of that?
Well, that's what they're hoping, what they're going to do, and we know exactly what's going to happen. The only place where this is going to happen are in what they consider drug-laden areas. This is going to be in Harlem. This is going to be in parts of Brooklyn. This is going to be in parts of the Bronx where there are a large number of minorities, where they'll say that there's major drug activity. They don't believe that those people in any way have civil liberties. They don't. The police do not. Law enforcement does not believe that poor black communities, those people have civil liberties. They don't believe it. Anybody who tells you otherwise is a liar. I don't care where you live. If you live in a ghetto, if you live in a large minority community, the police department and anybody in the criminal justice system do not believe that your communities or your people there have any civil liberties. They don't believe that you are human. I'm telling you this. They don't. They do not believe that you are human beings. They never have. They never will. You are nothing more than cattle. to the criminal justice system. You are cattle. You are put here to fill jails and to keep lawyers, or for that matter, district attorneys on their jobs. You are cattle. Hey, how many people we got in the pen today? Only 12? Tell the cops to get out there and bring me more niggers. Go out there and get me more Hispanics. Go on out and get me more drug dealers. Get me more drug users. Get me somebody jaywalking with a Newport in his mouth. I don't care. Get him over there loitering, whatever. We've got to slow down in productivity here at the criminal justice system. Go get me my cattle. Go bring the cows home, boys. And that's all it is. They drag your asses in there like Bessie.
You do a good impression of a cow.
That's exactly what they are.
But,
that's
okay,
why these morons don't figure it out.
Let's get back to what is it? I didn't really hear exactly what you said, that this is going to cause issues with DNA, because I think that's probably one of the biggest issues here.
Well, yes, they're talking about DNA, gene splicing. They're saying this is going to affect your genome in some sort of way. But what do they care? They don't care. Who are you? You're a violent drug dealer walking around with a gun. You don't have any rights. That's what they're thinking. You don't have any rights. Don't you think? Let me tell you one thing that I know that the police department and the people in the criminal justice system cannot stand, that you have rights. They do not like it. They do not like the fact that you are an American citizen and you are bound to the Constitution, that the Constitution is there to protect you. They hate that. They hate the Constitution. Most liberals do. Most liberals hate the Constitution. They think it's a living, breathing thing. They think it should be changed. Don't you find it odd that liberals think that the Constitution is a living and breathing thing, but your unborn fetus isn't? Don't you find that odd?
Oh, well, that is odd if that's how liberals feel.
Say again?
I said that is odd if that's how liberals feel. I can't speak for everyone.
Of course. That's how liberals think. The Constitution is a living, breathing thing, and it should change. But your fetus? Now you can kill that. That living, breathing thing. They don't even know the difference. We'll be back. We got more news, more views. Go ahead. Sorry.
Where are the medical professionals? Where do they stand on this?
They never come forward when minorities are in play. They're not going to come forward. Are you crazy? They don't matter. Blacks, Latinos, no. And those, they don't matter. They're nothing. They're a non-starter.
But blacks and Latinos are not the minority in New York.
The minorities in the ghetto? Oh, that's a different thing. Notice the only Mexicans and Cubans vote, not Puerto Ricans. Puerto Ricans and Dominican, that's not who they're talking about. When they're talking about Latinos, they mean Mexicans. Mexicans and Cubans. Those are the only Latinos they're talking about. We'll be back. It's Reese on the radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Mary had a little lamb, it bleated white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said nada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Are we back? It's on the radio. We're back. So you've heard all the news that's happening out there. Newt Gingrich's wife is coming forward. She's about to destroy his campaign. That sucks. Obama's uncle. We talked about that briefly. We also talk about rats being moved out of D.C. and maybe heading to, they may be relocating. It's like rats and rodents have a better immigration deal than Mexicans in this country. Absolutely insane. I've heard of crazy things happening, but that's, for me, that's just bonkers. That's crazy. Hey, some Tebow news for you, because you know I love talking about my good friend, Mr. Tim Tebow. Turns out that Tebow had, like, cracked ribs and, like, a hurt lung while he was playing. And he still, you know, that was the reason why, you know, he got his butt kicked by New England. But there are no excuses. You know, you play with the pain, you lose with the pain. That's how it goes. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that's the way it goes. I'm still very, very upset about it. It breaks my heart. Just, you know, I love Tebow!
He gave him a whole list of injuries.
Really? What was it? Do you have the list in front of you?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I mean, I couldn't remember anything that wasn't on the list.
Yeah, right? It was like everything. He had like a torn ACL, he had a rib fracture, he had a crushed lung.
Yeah, tough lung.
Yeah, he had everything wrong with him. But he still played through the game. What? Well, come on, man. I mean, there are guys who played in the 70s, man. They played with broken legs. Come on. You know, I mean, it's just a part of the game, man. You play. You get paid to play. You get paid that kind of money. Well, Tebow's not paid a lot of money. But you get paid a considerable amount of money, man. You play through the pain. He's a tough guy. I like him.
Nah.
No.
Hey, I got a question for you, both of you guys.
Sure.
I'm breaking away from the football news. Do you guys hear the latest excuse that the sea captain ran that ship aground in Italy, his latest excuse as to why he left the ship?
No.
No, I haven't heard this. And by the way, I hear they're calling him Captain Coward now.
Really?
I love it.
Yeah, they're calling him Captain Coward now. I love it.
And I listen, he says, and I quote, "It was dark, and he tripped and fell into a lifeboat."
What? Wait. Hold on. He said it was dark, and he tripped and fell into a lifeboat.
Into a lifeboat.
And then did the lifeboat then drive him home?
All the way to the cab.
All the way to the cab, right? This guy is classic stupid. He is classic stupid. Nobody can be that stupid. You know, look, just own up. You're a coward, man. You ran away. Look, you got to go down with the ship. I mean, in all things considered, I look at the ship, I'd have taken that one. I'd have been the last on that ship. I would have been the last. I mean, if I'd stayed at the helm, I probably wouldn't have drowned if I'd have just directed someone. I heard another report that said that there was kind of mutiny. There was mutiny on the Bounty.
Hey, listen, let me tell you, CBS News, 40 minutes ago, the cruise ship captain under fire for abandoning his vessel while thousands of passengers scrambled for rescue had reportedly come up with an explanation for his flight. He accidentally tripped and fell into a lifeboat.
That's it.
CBS News.
They don't give any other details, like after he tripped and fell into a lifeboat, what?
That the lifeboat then miraculously fell into the water, and that he
well, I guess
they'll
get that part tomorrow.
What's that?
And a mermaid or manatee or somebody jumped into the boat and paddled.
You're saying that I tripped into a lifeboat, the lifeboat fell down into the water, and I figured, hey, I'm already here.
And the current blew me in.
Well, on a lighter note, they did find another survivor alive today. Another passenger alive today.
Did they?
That's actually good. Yeah, I'm happy to hear that some people are being saved. You know, as we talked about yesterday, you know, look, it is one of the worst ways, you know, to die. And you're on vacation, for crying out loud.
Hung out in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
You still hung out in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's where all the food was.
JC.
What?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. If I was in the kitchen, you know, and I was going to be there for a while, I'd have hung out. You know,
well, see, I don't think they knew how deep the water was that they were going to be in.
Well, it's still a big ship tilting over. You can't control what's happening to you. You know, this reinforces why a lot of people don't take boats. Let me give you something that I find weird. I almost find this culturally weird. When I was locked up in Manhattan Detention Center. I remember having a discussion with a couple of guys, and I think we were talking about taking a cruise liner somewhere because I don't like to fly very much. And every time I mentioned going on a ship, every black person I talked to said, I'm not going on a boat. A boat? All the way out there in the water? Nah, I ain't doing that. Is it me, or is that a cultural thing? Do black people not like sailing?
I don't think it's more so sailing. But I'll tell you what my mom used to say. And her exact words was, I can't drink all that damn water.
Well, my mom used to say something very similar. I remember another joke somebody said that I think it had in the context was, yachting was America's favorite sport, or it's America's sport. And he said he knew that black people didn't like yachting because the last boat trip we took, we never came back. Something like that. A lot of people don't like to go boating. I think what the problem is that more black people can't swim. And I still don't understand that.
I can understand it.
But why don't
black people... If you were to tell me that you were Cuban, Puerto Rican, Jamaican, Haitian, and you couldn't swim, now that's a problem.
Surrounded by water. Yeah, but there have been no Puerto Rican swim champions.
So is New York surrounded by water, but what is that saying?
No. There are no Puerto Rican, Cuban, or Jamaican swim champions. There are none. I mean, just like, you know, I always laugh and say, what's the country with where everybody runs, but they never, ever win a track meet. You know, it's like Kenya's number one sport is not race, is not track. But Kenyans always win the marathon. You know, they win it hands down, but that's not the number one sport in Kenya.
What is it, soccer?
The number one sport is, no, it's cricket.
Oh, well.
But Kenyans win it every time.
Cricket.
You know, I don't understand. Yeah, exactly. I don't understand a country where you don't. If you live in a country that doesn't have cars, you should be the fastest runners. So I can understand Usain Bolt.
I don't understand cricket.
Yeah, I don't understand cricket either. But that's a big sport there. It's a big sport in a lot of those countries. I don't understand it either. It's an awful game. I can't follow it. People are very, very excited about it, but I don't get it. But they play it. But that's their number one sport. It isn't even track and field. But Kenyans come here to America. It must mean that we're awfully slow as Americans. If Kenyans whip our ass every time. It's pathetic, if you ask me. That's what I think it is. I think it's pathetic. But, yeah, I like boats. My biggest dream is to own a yacht. I want to own a boat before I own a car. Because I just think for me, that is the ultimate freedom. Sailing the seven seas.
No.
Being out on the water.
I kind of felt that way as well until you start hearing about the rogue waves that's out there tipping cruise ships over.
There's technology to avoid that.
A rogue wave?
Yeah, if you got technology to keep that from happening, you don't have to. Listen to me, man. Listen, if there's one thing that I know, man, nautical instruments are the thing. That's why people use them. You know,
listen,
they're a really good thing. It's advanced. It's the GPS of the water.
I guess it's the same nautical thing that steered Katrina towards New Orleans, right? You can't control a rogue wave.
You can stay out of those waters, is what he's saying.
Rogue waves come out of nowhere. That's why they're rogue. You don't know when they're coming.
Listen to me. You sound like the same guy who goes outside, you know, to work, and he doesn't bring the umbrella because he didn't watch the weather report the day before. There are ways that you can find out what the weather is like and what the sea is like out there. They have channels. They have ways that you can find out. You can call people. You can call the Coast Guard. You can always get information out there. It's nothing to be afraid of. But
Rogue waves.
Look, I don't...
Rogue waves.
I'm not talking about, okay, maybe I'm not talking about taking your boat and sailing off to freaking, you know, Uzbekistan. I'm saying that, you know, if you want to go, let's say you want to take your boat down to Florida, you know? You're just riding along the coast.
Nope, I'm happy in Long Island Sound.
I always thought that maybe I would just take it. Maybe I'd ride my boat all the way to the Florida Keys. Maybe come up into the Gulf of Mexico, into the Panhandle. You know, maybe go to, you know, just off the coast, maybe Panama City, Florida. You know, get out there and, you know, just, you know, maybe have
drift
a crab.
Off course, up on some Cuban beach, captured. Then before you know it, you're washing dishes. You're washing dishes in a halter top and a pair of chancletas. No, thank you.
JC, stop it.
You don't like to fly.
You don't like to fly, and you don't want to get on a boat.
I'll do ferries. I'll do ferries. And in fact, one of my favorite trips.
A short distance, then.
One of my favorite trips is to go to Block Island. It's an amazing place.
Wait. Now, if you've been to Block Island, you know that the Mary Ellen, that there's the Mary Ellen right in New London. That boat is a big boat. That boat's almost the size of the cruise ship that went down. You know, the Mary Ellen.
No. I take the Block Island ferry. There are two of them. There's a speed ferry, and then there's a 3-hour ferry. And they're nowhere near quite the size of the cruise ships.
Well, okay, you're right. Those are a little smaller. But you don't think those things will capsize easier?
I would rather be where in between land that's 35 miles apart than be out in the middle of the ocean somewhere.
You've never gone out on a boat fishing or anything like that?
Nope, from the shore.
Gosh, we used to do that as kids on the weekends when we were kids all the time. My stepfather had a boat at the Freeport Marina in Long Island, and we'd go out almost every weekend.
I go out for fishing trips all the time. Oh, let's go deep sea fishing. No, thank you. I'll stand on shore.
Now that's a whole other thing. Now, deep sea fishing is different than just having a boat docked at a marina and going out a little ways and fishing. Deep sea fishing is going way out.
No.
Guys,
I'm good.
When we come back, we talked about a story a couple of weeks ago. I think it was even last week we talked about it, that there is an app that Microsoft is putting together, or they just got a patent for, and that's correct. It will help you avoid the hood. Well, as it turns out, now the people over at the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, that's right, the NAACP, is now outraged at the new app. Let me just say before I read the story, one of the quotes is, "Imagine not being able to go to Martin Luther King Boulevard." And let me tell you what it is that I think about that when we get back. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701. We'll be back in a minute.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio.
just after 9:21 on this January 18th, 2012. In a story that we talked about, oh, by the way, don't forget to log on to ResonaRadio.com. Send us an email at ResonaRadio@Yahoo.com. Anytime you like. Any time of day. I get woken up by my phone whenever I get an email. You know, you got that little app where, you know, the little connection. So somebody sends you an email, it goes directly to your phone. So I'll get it directly to my phone, no matter where I am. I don't have to go to a computer. It comes on my phone, I can read it. I got a smartphone, I can hit you back. You know, talk to me any time of the day. You know, I could be at the supermarket, I could be at the bank, be at a friend's house, be on the toilet. Okay, maybe not on the toilet. I don't do that. Nobody should do that. Taking your phone into the bathroom. It's creepy. Anyway, so in the story that we talked about here last week, I think it was maybe even earlier than that, we talked about this new Avoid the Ghetto app that is being called. Microsoft is making a smartphone app to help drivers and pedestrians avoid unsafe neighborhoods, as providing some proving some controversy among small minority groups. And I'm going to call them small because you shouldn't have a say in this matter. So even though the product hasn't been named yet, they know they have a patent pending on it or whatever, it hasn't even been named yet. But apparently people from the NAACP are outraged because they believe it's stereotyping certain neighborhoods and avoiding them from going into neighborhoods. Let me just, if I can, let me read the report, because I have something very inflammatory to say to the woman who's a part of the Dallas NAACP, and that is the president, Juanita Wallace. I'm not saying this to you because you're a girl. I'm saying this to you because you're an idiot. But let me read the story first. Wallace spent her afternoon at a rally on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and said she felt safe there, but fears the app may project something else. Can you imagine not being able to go to MLK Boulevard because my GPS says that it's a dangerous crime area? I can't even imagine that, she said. Microsoft says the app will use crime statistics to determine what parts of town are to be avoided, but it's unclear where the data will come from and how it will be interpreted. Microsoft has filed a patent for the app, but the actual product is unnamed and not yet available. Opponents like Juanita Wallace fear it could hurt minority communities. It's almost like gerrymandering, she said. It's stereotyping for sure, and without a doubt, I can't emphasize enough, it's discriminatory. A gentleman by the name of Michael McNally, who was visiting Dallas on Tuesday, said that the app shouldn't have enough power to label a community. It may have a high crime problem, but have some great cultural social things you can do there. Another Dallas resident, Chris Hurst, said, it sounds like a good safety tool. I'd be all for it because you can never be too safe. Another person named Tommy Jones, who said he works downtown, says that an app like Microsoft could hurt a city's economy. From a business standpoint, it could be devastating, he said, especially in the area of tourism. Should I go first with should I lament how I feel about this or the response to it, or would you guys like to go first?
You can go first.
Okay.
Because we know you're itching.
Okay. First, I've got no love for the NAACP. None. Why? Because I've never read a story about the NAACP holding a rally when 9 people get shot on the same day on the same block in Hartford, Connecticut. I don't see you. I don't see the NAACP rallying to get gangs out of the project buildings or drugs out of poor neighborhoods or helping black people get jobs or get an education. I don't see it. But here is the NAACP's Juanita Jenkins, Wilkins, whatever her name is, holding a rally about a software app on your smartphone and screaming discrimination. Now, let me tell you what your real problem is there, doofus. Your real problem is there
is that if the crime statistics are saying that you live in an unsafe neighborhood, do you think you might be wanting to clean up the neighborhood that's giving poor statistics? You want to be on the list as a safe neighborhood? Create a safe neighborhood, moron! It's that simple. No, let's go after the app. Listen, I know a lot of people are getting shot around here, Microsoft, but can you keep us off the list? Listen, you might hurt tourism. Oh, sure. Maybe somebody from Australia gets robbed or gets shot in a drive-by. But you know what? We're keeping businesses open. So take us off the app, will you? I think this is discriminatory. Not the fact that people are dying in the streets or crime statistics say that there's too much crime in your neighborhood. No, let's hold a rally to stop someone from creating a software app. This, my friends, is what's wrong with the NAACP and every one of these minority groups today. Anybody else?
Okay, I see your point loud and clear. Now, this woman is a moron. That's apparent. No one we don't even have to reiterate that. She knows she's a moron. But I can understand the McNally guy talking about businesses. Okay, so if it is a crime-ridden neighborhood, you still do have to have businesses. And for those people that are not committing crimes and do own businesses in those neighborhoods and want to prosper and are trying to make their neighborhood better, then I understand that aspect. And that's,
okay.
I mean...
JC, your take?
I agree with you. I agree. If you want your neighborhood taken off of the GPS system, change your neighborhood. I think that the NAACP need to pick their battles wisely. And they tend to misfire all the time.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
don't
something
get it
that
either.
They do over and over and over again. There are bigger fish to fry. And I'm
not
talking porgies or whiteys.
But it's easier to just put those little fish in the frying pan than it is to really look at the big picture. It's laziness.
Yeah, I think it is laziness. I think what the NAACP's primary function is to find something out there that's discriminatory, and that's what it is that they fight. But I say that, you know, look, it's in your name. If you're the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, then you should be taking care of every aspect of that advancement. And that means that if colored people are out there hurting other colored people, you need to be handling that problem. It's the advancement of colored people. And anything that hinders that advancement should be addressed. Always. But they never seem to address it. They never seem to. And as you just eloquently put it, JC, they seem to always miss the mark. They always misfire. It's always about something silly. What are you holding a press conference about a stupid Microsoft app? I mean, it's ridiculous. Anybody who's using that Microsoft app wasn't coming to your neighborhood anyway. They were trying to avoid it. I mean, come on, let's tell the truth. As James says it, you know, let's call a spade a spade. If anybody's going to put on this app, they're going to say, hey, there's an app to avoid us from going to the hood. Oh, man, let's download it. I mean, if
now,
anything...
What about...
I'm just saying, if
about,
anything, Juanita Wilkins is upset that some poor sap didn't roll into Martin Luther King Boulevard by accident. And I don't care what anybody says. Comedians have made this joke 100 times over. Do you ever notice in the hood there's always a Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard? He says, what I find impressive about that is Martin Luther King Jr. was about nonviolence. But no matter where you go, that's the most violent block in the neighborhood. And that's the irony of Martin Luther King Boulevard. But what were you saying, Mary? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's fine. You called me, I totally forgot what I was going to say. So.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, listen, I want to move on. We're going to take a quick break. And I have to scold JC about some news he never told me. JC didn't tell me that there was breaking Kardashian news. Now, I know I said that this is a Kardashian-free zone, but I also made it evidently clear that even though it's a Kardashian-free zone, I only want Kardashian news when it's bad news. And this, my friends, is bad Kardashian news. And I didn't get it. So I have to scold JC about it. JC, do you know what it is that I'm talking about?
No, don't
give it away. Don't give it away yet. I just want to know. It's news about the giant one.
There's a lot of bad Kardashian news this week, then.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay, there's news about the giant Kardashian. I always refer to her as the giant. P5-fold
Kardashian. I know who you're talking about.
That's right.
Chewbacca.
P5-fold. Yes, Chewbacca. Rah!
Yeah, stop doing that. I'm like Kardashian. Stop it. Stop.
We'll be back.
Hey guys, it's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64-ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the fucking ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out. Because he was Chinese. I was like, why is he talking like that? He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. That's right. Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter.
They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know the black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got 5 black... Hello?"
Hey guys, it's Reese on the Radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the Radio at 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say. just email us at reesontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Oh, they're there. You go to any one of those 7-Elevens or those Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, God bless you, Joe Biden. I'm going to miss you when you're gone. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701 is the number. And we're back on the January 18th, 2012. Now, I said this was a Kardashian-free zone, unless the news is bad. I love bad Kardashian news. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. I live for them because I hate them. I hate them. Not for their success. I'm not jealous. I could give. Listen, I don't care about anybody's money. I don't care about anybody's fame. I don't wish I was like them. I don't wish I had what they had, and I don't even look at them in that respect. I don't watch their show. There's no way for me to be envious. I've never watched Kim's sex tape. I have nothing remotely makes me jealous. I hate them because I can. It's that simple. I have no rhyme or reason. I hate you. I can just wake up one morning and decide and look at you right in your face and say something about you disingenuous, impure, and you deserve my hatred. So I hate them. And they deserve my hatred. But that being said, I've been saying this forever, ever, 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 and no one would listen to me when I talked about it. There was something freakish about that giant one, Khloe Kardashian. I knew it. Everybody in that family is 5 foot nothing. And yet, here comes this big freak of nature at 9 foot two named Khloe Kardashian. And everybody says, oh, yeah, she's related. I said, no, she's not. There's something about her. She's a freak. She's a zombie. She's something. She's Frankenstein. Somebody put her together in a lab. There's no way. How is she that big? All the rest of the daughters are short. And this one comes along, and literally, she can dunk. You know, she picks up groceries from the top shelf. You know, she doesn't need heels. You know, she's got a... She's a freak of nature.
Sasquatch.
Yes, absolutely.
A Yeti.
A
Bigfoot.
And no one believes me when I tell them that there's just something wrong. There's no way that she's a real Kardashian.
Okay, let's spill it.
So, according to a report that came out today, well, the report is in a lot of places, but let me just read you the report. The headline reads, "Is Khloe really a Kardashian?" That's the report. According to a Star magazine issue where Jan Ashley and Ellen Kardashian, who are both Robert Kardashian's ex-wives, are insisting that Khloe is not the child of Robert Kardashian, insisting she's the love child of Kris Jenner's affair.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you.
Yes.
I asked you a moment ago to go to another site. Please take 1 second to go to that site while we get Mary's opinion.
I'm not going to get Mary's opinion.
Sir, I beg of you, it's worth it.
All right, I'm going to do, Mary, look.
Mary, your thoughts?
Yeah, okay. Mary, what's your...
First of all, I love Khloe Kardashian. I think...
Hey, hold on. Reese, keep your mic open, but go ahead.
I think that she is the realest one out of all of them. I don't always follow the show. I have watched it several times. I like Khloe. I like Khloe, and I like her husband. Partly because her husband is from Queens. But she's not a freakazoid. She's not a Sasquatch. You guys are ridiculous. I mean, that's so hurtful. Why would you say something like that?
She's even worse.
I guess I've said hurtful things about people, too. But
She's not, Chloe, if you're listening, I don't think you're a Sasquatch, honey.
Oh, my God.
And I believe it. I believe it 100%.
Hold on, Mary. Okay, listen.
Hold on, before you say anything. That wasn't there this afternoon.
I know. Let me finish the story. Robert Kardashian, who died from cancer in 2003, married Ashley after splitting from Jenner in 1990. And then later wed Ellen. Chloe is not his kid, Ashley allegedly told the tabloid. He told me that after we got married. Well, you know that Chloe's not really a Kardashian, don't you? Said Ashley, alleging, quoting her ex-husband from the magazine. In other words, she's saying that Robert said to her, you know, Chloe's not really my child. Anyway, Jenner had three other children with Robert Kardashian, Courtney, Kim, and Rob. Rumors about such a scandal have plagued the family for years. In an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, even featured Chloe question if she had been adopted. Ellen Kardashian echoed Ashley's statement to Star Magazine. She looked nothing like the rest. Said in regards to Chloe, she was tall, had a different shape, light hair, curly hair, didn't look anything like the other three children. The second wife even noted for the tabloid that Chloe would talk about how different she was from her three siblings at the time, or all the time. But the family never asked for DNA tests. She said because Robert accepted the truth, but about Chloe and loved her very much nonetheless. Now, JC told me to go to MediaTakeout.com off the air. The headline reads this. Here is a breaking report from our friends at the National Enquirer. In an incredible secret that will stun millions of our Kardashian fans.
Oh, yeah, that's reputable news. The National Enquirer.
Hold on.
That's
true.
Reputable. So go
Hold
ahead
on.
And read
Hold
the
on.
Nonsense.
It's true.
O.J. Simpson said that he may be the biological father of Khloe Kardashian. That would explain the freakish size. O.J. Simpson.
It makes so much sense.
It makes way more sense. They were close friends. Kris Jenner just wrote a book not too long ago about how she was friends with O.J. and Nicole Brown Simpson. They had a very close relationship.
Robert Kardashian was the leader of the Dream Team.
That's right, and he also had a falling out with O.J.
But listen, it ain't no fun if what?
It ain't no fun if my homies can't have none. It ain't no fun. I'm telling you.
She looks
like everything.
She looks like O.J.
I'm going to have to agree.
And with Nicole.
Okay, let's get to the real matter of this horrific story that these two disgusting ex-wives of her father are saying. Why would you put that out there? Even if your husband, that is dead and in the grave, may he rest in peace, said something like that to you, why would you publicize that and hurt someone like that? When this girl has been raised all her life to think that this man is her father, if he's not, she has been brought up to think that he is her father. She loves him. He raised her. He was a part of her life. So regardless whether he is her father biologically or not, which we don't know what the truth is, no one knows, especially not the National Enquirer, why would you do something like that? What were you thinking about when you said, oh, let me just put this nasty business out in the street? She's already questioning it anyway. She's been on the show and she's asked her mother to take a DNA test. So why not? And I'm pretty sure that her mother did take a DNA test, so that they did show that, you know, of course, that Kris Jenner was her mother. But they were not, I guess she didn't take it with any of her siblings to see if they were, you know, actually related in DNA.
Oh, but
it's so crude of these ex-wives to come out with something like that. That is something so personal and so it could become hurtful. And if you read about it, Chloe is very hurt that these women are so disgusting to come out and talk about that, especially when this man is dead and in his grave.
La 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 la. Okay, listen. I don't mean to come off rude, but listen. They make their money from putting their lives out in public.
That's right.
This is how they make their money.
That's right.
If anything,
their
paycheck is going on.
I understand them being out in the public is how they make their money.
And the Kardashian name means money.
But now these wretched little witches, these ex-wives, which are just disgusting, and
Kardashians.
Kardashians.
No,
ex-wives
of a Kardashian, because they have no Kardashian blood in them. They're only Kardashians by injection. Okay.
Which is enough. Which is more than enough.
Wait. Is the nature of the Kardashians. This is the nature of the Kardashians putting their business in the street. Now your business is in the street. Don't be mad because you don't get to filter the business in the street. This is supposed to be a reality show. If your business is in the street.
Yeah, but they're attacking her. They're attacking her in
attacking?
Her in an inhumane way.
Are they attacking her?
They're attacking her.
Mom needs to come clean.
What?
Mom needs to come clean.
Listen, hold on. Jenner, according to Jenner's book, Kris Jenner's own book, All Things Kardashian, the book made no mention of any children from the infidelities that she mentions in her book. She does, in her book, mention that she has. Meanwhile, Khloe has gone online to lash out the claims that Robert Kardashian is not a biological father. The audacity you have to mention my father's name like this, she quoted, you should be ashamed of yourself. I let a lot of things slide, but this one is really low. You are disgusting. Yes, you know who you are. Look, let me just tell you what the unscientific poll is saying so far. They put out a poll, do you believe that Khloe Kardashian is a real Kardashian? And the poll comes out 68.62 to 31.38. The no's have it. At 68.62, nobody believes it. It just doesn't look genetically.
I'm not saying whether I believe it or I don't believe it. That is not the issue here. The issue at hand here is that these, once again, wretched little witches that want to get their hands on some money or want to get their names put out there in the media. You don't do something like that to somebody. You just don't do it. This girl has been raised all her life knowing that this man was her father.
So she's been living a lie? Okay,
he's not even here to defend himself. So how disrespectful is that? What disrespect it is to show him and towards Khloe as well. I mean, it's stupid. It's just stupid. What is the difference? Who cares that she's biologically related to him or not? He was her father. He raised her. He helped raise her. He was her father. Any man can lay down with anybody and impregnate them. That does not make them a father. They are
okay,
just a daughter.
All right. But don't you think that it's, you know, look at this from my perspective. Okay?
I can't
somebody
because
like,
you are a Kardashian hater. So
No. Hold on.
No, forget that part.
Forget the part that I'm a Kardashian hater. Look at it from this perspective, Mary. The reason why I want this information is for one thing, you know. When I was a little kid, I used to watch this TV show called In Search Of, and Are UFOs Real? Like Ripley's Believe It or Not. And I think in order to find out where Sasquatch comes from, we need to know its genetic background.
Question answered.
I would like to know the genome of this circus freak, to be honest with you.
She is not. Why do you call her a circus freak? She's beautiful.
No, she's not.
What is not beautiful about her? She has a shapely body. She has a beautiful face. She always looks nice. She dresses well. And she's real. She's down to earth. What is not beautiful about her?
If you're into dating Red Oaks.
Nobody should be that tall from the female species. Nobody should be that tall. Nobody.
Why do you? Wait. There are some of the greatest supermodels are that tall. They're just not big bone like she is.
Big bone? Jesus.
Where'd that come from?
Let me not say big bone, because she's not big bone. She's a thick girl.
You got dinosaur bones in her.
So it's okay. It's okay to be 6'2" and be a runway model as long as you're only 90 pounds soaking wet and we can see your ribs.
I didn't say that. I think those women look weird too. I'm just saying that. Look, you see how shapely Kourtney Kardashian is, and how shapely Kim Kardashian is. They have shape. They got hips. They got ass. They've got all of the sort of. This one is a little disproportioned, don't you think?
Where is she disproportioned at? She has the same shape as they do. It's just that she's in a more vertical package and not horizontal. Well, she's equally proportioned horizontally and vertically.
I don't know. I'm just saying she looks weird. She doesn't look like a normal Kardashian. You know it.
And in comparison to you, she's not that tall. You are a beanstalk.
Well, look, I know how tall I am. I'm 6'5", and Khloe Kardashian is 3 feet taller than me.
No, she is not. I don't even think she stands 6 feet.
Oh, come on. Are you crazy?
Wait a minute. I'm 5'4". My mother is 6 feet. My sister is like 5'11". We do have two different fathers. That's why we look, different. But my
okay, there you go.
What is wrong with being tall? My mother is 6 foot tall. She's a size 10. What is wrong with being tall? That is just in her genes. So what?
No, there's nothing wrong with being tall. Listen, my sweetie pie in another state. I'm not gonna say how tall she is, but she's got 41 inches of legs.
41
yeah,
inches
tall.
Of legs?
Yes.
Her legs are 41, so that's pretty tall, dude. That's pretty tall.
Very tall. But, and I'll tell you, she's got a sister that's 6'6".
Wow. WNBA.
Exactly. I'm telling you, I saw Khloe Kardashian. She was at the practice of the Dallas Mavericks, and she dunked on Dirk Nowitzki. I know she's tall. She's too damn tall.
I sent you a link
that's
there,
why,
too.
Well, that's why she married a basketball player, because she had to find somebody that was taller than her. Well, good for her.
She wants to give birth to an NBA team. She's working on her future. She knows she's not a Kardashian. She's a Simpson.
Yeah, she's definitely a Simpson.
Stop it. She, stop it.
It makes sense.
I see the picture. Is that a picture of her?
No, that's.
Is that Bruce Jenner?
No.
That's the picture of OJ's daughter, right?
That's Sydney Simpson.
Wow.
I think that Khloe looks just like her mother.
No.
Isn't it the same shape?
Oh, listen to me. That's OJ. That's Sydney Simpson. Man, oh man. That's Khloe's sister.
That's Khloe Simpson, just a little browner, right? And maybe a little shorter.
That's what I'm going to call her from now on, Khloe Simpson.
Yeah, she's Khloe
Simpson. That's her name, Khloe Simpson. That's got to be her name.
And she gets that Middle Eastern look from her mom. Her mom's Syrian.
You guys are pathetic with this. Come on. I mean, stop bashing the poor girl.
Khloe Kardashian.
You're not bashing her. You're calling her a freaking Sasquatch.
I love Khloe Simpson. I want her to break away from the whole Kim thing. I can't stand Kim for the way that she got her fame.
I don't like them. I only want bad news about them. And in essence, this would only be good news for her because she'd find her real daddy.
She already knows who her real daddy is, and that is her.
I know they call him Bruce every week on the show.
Her real daddy is serving 9 to 33 for kidnapping.
and stealing his own goods back. The thing is, Mary. Their lives can't be their lives the way they want it to be, simply because they put their lives out there on public display.
That's right.
And to not be able to form an opinion about it, or even have an opinion about it, is unjust to anyone who watches television.
I'm not saying that you can't form an opinion. We all have opinions. They're like a-holes. You know, we all have one. All I'm saying is that I disagree with your opinions, and I think that she's beautiful and intelligent, and I think
she is very beautiful. I think she's more beautiful than the other two.
Really?
Yeah, I honestly do. Because I like a woman with a little meat on her bone.
I don't know any men that don't think
I could do
it without
her trapezius muscles.
Oh, wait, you cut each other off. What did you just say, JC?
I says, I think she's very beautiful. I could do without the trapezius muscles. And, and a lat. But,
yeah,
I think she's a beautiful girl. And I'd love to see her break away from that whole Kardashian mold, claim her name Simpson, and live out the rest of her life in the name of her father.
Hey, look, I think, honest to God, I honestly believe that she could bring some credibility back to the Simpson name. Imagine what that show would be if they had the DNA test of Khloe Kardashian and O.J. Simpson to find out whether or not that's his daughter. It would break you crazy. Khloe would be a breakout star. And then Khloe had to go change her name to Khloe Simpson. And then she went to go play for the Rams.
She could pay daddy's bills off.
And he wouldn't get his house foreclosed on in Florida. It would
and
be
the
a reunion.
Could get off.
Ryan Seacrest would make a fortune on E. And what could we call it? First we had Kim and Khloe Take Manhattan. What's the new one? Khloe Becomes a Simpson.
Ryan Seacrest owns E?
Oh, no. Ryan Seacrest is the producer of all the Kardashian shows.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
What a wuss.
Yeah, he runs all of that. That's his moneymaker. That's his moneymaker right there.
He's smarter than Kelsey Grammer.
Well, Kelsey Grammer, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, look, reality works.
The Game is a really good show now. Cut it out.
Not a big fan of The Game. Anyway, tomorrow, folks, it's the end of the show, but tomorrow, folks, as usual, is Therapy Thursday. Can you believe it? It's already Therapy Thursday tomorrow. I'll be hitting the pavement, seeing whether or not I can find some employment. But you know what? I got a very, very good opportunity, and it might be coming very, very soon. I've got a very, very dear friend to thank. They know who they are. I had a conversation with them yesterday. And an opportunity to turn my life around and a 2012 that I really, really think could really, really, I mean, you have no idea. If I could tell you people how much I love this person right now because they really, really are doing such a great thing for me. But we'll talk tomorrow. It's Reese on the radio. We'll see you for Therapy Thursday. Thanks for hanging out. We love you. Tomorrow.
Happy hump day.
Yeah, happy hump day.